I thought it was really old lady-like.
I thought it was going to be a big waste of time and money.
I still love crochet, but who knew I could print with a potato?
Now I'm the guy that can actually draw.
When I finished the garment and I hung it up and took a picture of it, I was like, whoa, that actually looks like the photo. And people made all these comments, and it was pretty awesome.
CreativeBug.com, the number one destination for online kick-ass art and craft video classes. You're more creative than you think.
Welcome to the Creative Bug Podcast. I am here today with illustrator and artist Lisa Congdon. Hi, Lisa. Welcome.
Hi, Leanna.
Hi. It's so great having you here, especially right at the cusp of finishing up Sketchbook Explorations, which is our four-part work-along that we just did.
Oh, yes.
That was a whirlwind, wasn't it?
It was. So many people participated. It was really exciting.
I know. Well, this is your second work along with us. For those who are tuning in and haven't seen it, she did basic line drawing, and then you went on and did sketchbook explorations. And they've been about a year apart, I think. But it's been fascinating to see all the people coming along and participating. What was that experience like for you?
Well, it's really exciting to work on a class, and then also, you know, to see something that I'm really passionate about, like drawing in my sketchbook, become something that other people are really passionate about and get really excited about. And like, I see that there are people who are starting sketchbook clubs and
right.
things like that. Like, it's kind of amazing. And I'm not taking credit for all of it by any stretch of the imagination, but it's really cool to see people inspired by drawing.
I know.
And doodling. Yeah.
I feel as though friendships have been made over Instagram and on Facebook, you know, where people are commenting on each other's pictures that they've posted. And that must be a really interesting experience for you, especially since the work is, you know, inspired by what you're doing and, you know, almost like an imitation or a rendition of your own work. Is that interesting as an artist?
It's fun. It's a little strange sometimes, but what I really like to see is when people take this kind of stuff that I do or that I show people in the classes and really make it their own. And I know that's easier for some people than others, right? Like sometimes when you're first starting to make art or draw, you have to essentially, for lack of a better word, copy somebody else. Like that's how we learn. And actually that's how kids learn to draw, is by copying things.
Right.
And so that's an important part of the process, and it's okay as long as you're not selling it, you know, which usually if you're a beginner, right. you're not selling your work, it's okay. And then at some point you want to sort of break out of whatever it is you've learned, this very specific technique or style, mm-hmm. and really make it your own, because that's what gives you your own voice as an artist.
Right. And I think that your classes really help people kind of get beyond that blank page, you know, where they're looking at a blank page going, I don't know what to create. And you're really giving them this prompt. It's kind of a specific prompt in a lot of ways.
Yes.
But it really gives them an opportunity to practice something without having to be intimidated and then go on.
Yeah. And I sometimes worry that, you know, when I first taped my first class, basic line drawing with Creative Bug, I was really worried that what I was telling people was way too basic or way too constrained or way too simple. But in fact, what I learned was that's what beginners need. They need a very sort of basic and constrained and sort of like they need boundaries mm-hmm. around what they're going to draw. Otherwise, it's too overwhelming and intimidating.
Totally.
And I realize now that like these very specific assignments are really important for people who are just starting out. And then once you get comfortable with that very basic stuff, you can take it to the next level in whatever way works for you.
Absolutely. And that's why I really love the sketchbook concept for this second series, because it's almost like this is your playground. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about your sketchbook process, because you showed so many cool things in the classes. You know, I'd just love to dive inside of your head a little bit and get an idea of what your practice looks like. You know, you're a practicing professional artist. So what role does a sketchbook play in your life?
Well, for me, my sketchbook is something that's actually relatively recent in relationship to the rest of my art practice. You know, I have been making art and drawing for many years. You know, I got to this place where I needed a place to draw and paint and explore that wasn't a paid client job or for a gallery show. I needed this place to make stuff that I couldn't sell because it was in a book, like mm-hmm. something that was purely going to be for fun and for sort of pushing the boundaries of my art practice or like playing around with new ideas.
Yeah.
And so in the last couple of years, I started keeping a sketchbook, and it's really a different kind of sketchbook than what a lot of people keep. Like, I don't actually sketch out things in a sort of traditional way. I kind of got in the habit of, like, because I'm a surface designer, I got in the habit of literally filling the surface of spreads in my sketchbook with whatever geometric design or floral design or landscape design came to my mind. And I was doing it with really basic materials. Like, in the beginning, I only used black pens on white paper.
Right.
Because those are things you can carry around with you. They're really easy. Like, you can take them anywhere. And then as I started keeping a sketchbook, I realized that I wanted to integrate more color and potentially, you know, some cut paper, occasionally some watercolor paint. And so it just sort of spiraled from there. And originally I did it like once a week. Now I do 2 or 3 sketchbook spreads a week. I don't do it every day. I don't have time. Mm-hmm. And it's really become this thing that now I've become known for, of course, because I post them publicly right. on Instagram and on my blog occasionally. Now it's this thing that's an exciting part of what I do. And I'm getting to the point now where I've really done so much experimenting and drawing in my sketchbooks that sometimes I'm a little stumped. Like, what am I going to draw today? Because I don't want it. So many people look at them on Instagram. I don't actually want to draw the same thing twice.
Right.
So it's really up to the ante in terms of, like, you know, like, oh, I better, you know, what am I going to make that's going to be even better than yesterday or more exciting or really fun? And also fun for me. I want to keep it interesting and fun for myself. And I'm really lucky too, because in the last year, Sakura of America, it was this great pen company. They essentially, you know, sponsor me, not financially, but with pens. So they send me pens all the time. I love their, and it happens, the relationship started was they noticed that I was using their pens, and mm-hmm. so they're Micron pens, and so then they started sending me other pens, which actually I never would have known about certain other pens. I never would have considered using Jelly Roll pens, and now I use them all the time.
Well, yeah, and that was actually a question I was going to ask you is, how do you find out about these new products and all of that? It sounds like they were finding you and sending them to you, but how would you suggest other people go out and find new products or things to experiment with?
So an interesting story is that last year when I got my first huge batch of pens from Sakura, I sort of dismissed a lot of the pens in it. Like, I never saw myself as somebody who would use colored pens. Like, I was very sort of like, I paint and I draw with ink and that's all I do.
Right.
And I was excited to receive this huge batch of pens, but I was like, oh, I'm not going to use these Jelly Roll pens. So I actually sent a bunch of them to my 15-year-old niece who loves to draw, and she was super excited. And then a few months later, I started using the white Jelly Rolls that I had kept, because I realized from looking at the work of some other artists that they worked really well on dark surfaces. Mm-hmm. And I had been using paint pens previously, which are a total pain in the butt. And so I was like converted to Jelly Roll. And then I started literally just in the last few months experimenting with the colored Jelly Roll pens and fell in love with those as well. But one thing to know about Jelly Roll, and I don't know about Jelly Roll, but I know like Koi brush pens, which mm-hmm. I use, they're not archival. So they're really fun to use in your sketchbook, but I can't use them in art that I'm going to sell that needs to be preserved.
Right.
So that's an important thing for people to remember, is that, you know, if you're actually selling your work, or if you want your work to not shift or change color over time, you know, they're not archival. And actually Michaela, who is my friend who works at Sakura, was like really quick to remind me of that. She, they're great for fun drawing, but mm-hmm. they don't, you know, like some other pens, they're not archival. So that's an important thing to remember.
Well, that kind of brings up a good point, which is that it sounds like for you, working in a sketchbook is kind of a different mindset in a lot of ways than working on something that you intend to be a finished piece, which we talk about in Sketchbook Explorations a bit in that final class. So it sounds like it's partly thinking about the materials you're going to be using, you know, and the longevity and archival quality. But then what else kind of separates for you the difference between working in a sketchbook and working on a finished piece?
Well, my sketchbook has really become this place of experimentation. And a lot of what I do for my job, it's not that I don't experiment while I'm working, but, you know, I get an illustration assignment or a commission, and the person who is paying me to make the art, they know what they want. It's usually based on something that I've done before, mm-hmm. or a specific look that they're going for. And so when I execute the artwork, I already know in my head what I'm going to do. My sketchbook is a really different place because usually I'm doing it like on the sofa while I'm watching movies or television at night, sometimes on the weekend. In January, I was sick for like 2 weeks and I did a lot of it in bed while I was watching like marathon Gilmore Girls, you know? So, you know, it's just this place where I get to play around. And if I don't like what I draw, I don't have to show it to anybody. Like, yeah. If I like it, then I show it on Instagram, but it's my own private book. But, you know, it's different than like making a drawing or painting that you're going to sell or that's going to adorn some product or go, you know, illustrate a book or something. It's just my own private sort of place to experiment. And so as a result, like some patterns that I am now going to license for fabric originated in my sketchbook, or at least the sort of concept for the work, I might render it differently later. I'm potentially working with a new wallpaper company and they've seen a lot of the stuff that they're interested in my sketchbook. The play and experimentation then mm-hmm. becomes something that I sell. But the sketchbook itself is purely for enjoyment. Like,
yeah,
you know, I can't frame it. I can't sell it, you know. I mean, I could, but I don't want to, you know.
I always find in my own sketchbook that it's like if I'm working on something and I don't really like the way it's going or I just feel like it's kind of blah, it's like, you know what, just add black. Just keep going.
That's right. Or like rip the page out or,
right.
You know, whatever. You know, it's your own thing.
It kind of takes away that preciousness. Like, oh, right. I screwed it up. You know, it's yeah. over now. It's
exactly.
Like, no, it's never over. That's what washi tape is for.
That's right. And, you know, when I first started making sketchbooks about a couple of years ago, even in the last year, if you look at the stuff that I was drawing in my sketchbook, then it looks actually fairly sort of like primitive or rudimentary compared to the stuff I'm doing now. And I'm sure in a year, the work that I'm doing will be even richer. And part of that is because keeping a sketchbook forces you to practice. Mm-hmm. And when you practice and you draw every day or several times a week, you will get better at it. You will discover that, you know, if you draw the same flowers over and over and over, it becomes like, because people look at my sketchbook and they say, how can you just draw that without making a mistake? And I said, well, when I first started drawing clusters of flowers like this, they didn't look like this, right? Mm-hmm. They look like this now because I've been drawing clusters of flowers like this for, you know, for the last year. You just didn't see them when they looked messy, or maybe you did,
right?
But you didn't recognize them as the same flowers that I'm drawing now because they look so much better. I mean, even as a working artist, somebody who's a fairly, you know, like somebody who can draw and paint pretty easily, I still have to practice. I still have to draw every day to get better at things. It's not like I just wake up in the morning and I'm like, oh, I'm just going to get up and draw this thing. Mm-hmm. So it's an important thing to remember that part of what having a sketchbook does is it forces you to practice drawing things. And when you practice drawing things, you get better at drawing them.
Yeah, definitely. Actually, that's one of the questions that I feel like I've seen over and over from people who have taken sketchbook explorations is understanding when you're done. And it's kind of like that question of white space. You know, when do you leave white space? When do you not? When do you go ahead and just fill up the whole page? I guess really it's how do you know when you're finished?
That's a great question. And it's one that, you know, every artist asks themselves, no matter what they're making, whether it's a sketchbook or a painting or a drawing. And it's sort of one of those things that takes a lot of time and experience. Mm-hmm. And the more you make art and the more you draw in your sketchbook, the more you'll have a sense of when something is finished. I mean, the important thing to remember about a sketchbook is that it's a sketchbook, right? Mm-hmm. So like done or not done is all relative. I remember once I was on an airplane flying to New York City last year, and I had sort of started drawing these like weird sort of botanical clusters. And I decided not to fill up the whole page, which if you follow my sketchbooks online is very rare, right? Like right. Normally I'm like filling everything. And I remember I posted a picture and I said, I'm not sure if this is done yet. And people weighed in. And the majority of people said, I like it just how it is. Like it has energy to it. It, you know.
Right.
And so one way to find out is to ask other people, not necessarily on Instagram, but like ask your husband, ask your wife, you know, ask your boyfriend, ask your kids, like, does this look finished? And people will usually tell you. Another way to know is to step away from, if you're really not sure if you should add more or not. And I, believe me, I have this question all the time, not just in my sketchbook, but in my artwork, you know, like if you don't have a deadline attached to finishing something, you know, step away from it for a few days and then come back to it.
Work on something else for a minute.
That's right. Yeah. Like because the thing about sketchbooks is that you can edit them to a certain degree, right? Like if you realize you've overdone it, it's harder to go back because it's paper and paper's really hard to edit over. I mean, you could, like you said, get funky with washi tape and white paint or whatever. And there are certainly ways to alter things. But a lot of the medium that you're using, it's really hard. Like once you've put the koi brush pen down, it's really hard to cover up. And so, especially if you're going for a certain look.
Right.
So I recommend, you know, being thoughtful about it. But also realizing, like, if you do go too far, what is that? That's a lesson that maybe next time you hold back a little bit. You know, like if you watch Project Runway, Tim Gunn is always like, edit, edit, edit.
Right.
Like, in other words, like...
Or it looks overworked.
Overworked, right? Or like, right. Less is more or whatever. And as you're developing your artistic skill or your skill at composition and design, you will come to understand what is overworking, what isn't. And that also is going to depend on your personal style. Like, some people really tend to like things super minimal. And that's the whole look and feel of their artwork. And some people, their look and feel is overworked. Like they purposefully overwork things. I'm somewhere in the middle. So, you know, it really all depends what look you're going for and really owning that, you know, like deciding what you like and just doing it and not worrying too much about what other people are going to think.
Right. It sounds like it's a lot of intention going into it. So do you usually know when you're starting out, like, I'm going to fill this whole page, or do you just kind of start with a shape and see how it feels?
It depends. Like if I'm doing something abstract, which, you know, like in the sketchbook explorations class, we do that one spread that's, you know, some koi brush pen background in it. There's some layering with some grays and some gel pen. That, when I originally made that sort of, you know, for the first time made something like that or very similar to that in my own sketchbook, that was really a sort of iterative thing. I didn't know that that was going to happen. It wasn't like I was like, I'm going to make a patchwork of colors and then I'm going to lay over with gray. I just started playing around. And a lot of things that I do, especially the more abstract things, end up being these things that just sort of grow.
Yeah.
A collage is often very organic and iterative and kind of you feel your way through it. But if you're doing representational work, and a lot of my work is representational, like I want specifically for something to look a certain way or be very highly designed or have a certain look and feel that is like trying to be look like florals or look like this or that. Like yesterday I did this piece in my sketchbook, which you can see on Instagram, which is like all these like Japanese symbols and things. And I knew going into it that that's what I was going to draw.
Yeah.
And I was actually looking at a book that had all these black and white images of Japanese things. And I used that to get ideas. So, you know, I think sometimes I have a plan and it's very intentional, and sometimes I have no plan at all. And that's the fun thing about a sketchbook. It can be either.
Yeah. Well, now that all four of the classes are out for sketchbook explorations, and, you know, if people have taken all of them and now they're wondering what next, Do you have any suggestions for them? Like, you know, in terms of staring down that blank page?
So often I get intimidated by the blank page, like, mm-hmm. what now? Yeah. And you have to sort of stop and look around and think, you know, what do I love to draw? And if there's something that you love doing, like, I love doing like floral repeated patterns. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's always going to be my default. But I know that's not the depth and breadth of what I do, like, mm-hmm. is so much greater than that. So part of, like I said before, part of your sketchbook is kind of pushing yourself to try things that you wouldn't try otherwise.
Right.
And then, you know, if you mess up or it doesn't look good in the end, then at least you've tried. A lot of the stuff that I do is totally experimental. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how it's going to turn out. And sometimes my partner, Clay, will be sitting next to me while I'm drawing. And she'll say at the end, wow, that really evolved and came out great. When you first started drawing, I had no idea what you were – I didn't know where you were going with that. You know, like, because I do a lot of layering, and so the detail doesn't come till the end. And that's really when things come to life, right?
Right.
When you add the fine-tuned detail. So, you know, think about what you like to draw. Think about what you want to learn to draw better. It's okay to look at books. It's okay to look at photographs. It's okay – to, you know, to get inspired by other visual reference, mm-hmm. and just use it as a place to practice. And don't expect every sketchbook page to look perfect. They aren't, people don't even know how many I don't show online or how many I end up tearing the pages out because I can't even look at it. Cause like
yeah,
I tried something
those,
and it just
Lisa.
Didn't work, you know?
Yeah.
So I know it's hard, but like, think about what you love to draw or what you want to learn to draw better. And also, instead of thinking about subject matter, think about materials you want to use, like get out some paper and glue or get out some watercolor paints, you know, buy a cheap set of watercolors if you don't have one and just play around with the materials mm-hmm. and see what happens without any agenda. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's a relief in many ways, I'm sure, for many of us to know that you also struggle with the blank page and sometimes don't have a plan.
Yes,
but I totally agree that you just have to start somewhere and kind of see where it goes. And,
yes.
And I think that message is definitely loud and clear in your classes, which is great.
Good.
Good. Well, I just wanted to ask you one last thing. And,
sure.
It actually has to do with Creative Bug. We wanted to know, what is it that you like about working with Creative Bug?
I like so many things about working with Creative Bug. They're not paying me to answer this question, by the way. I didn't even know it was coming. Well, you guys are all really, really nice people. Every time I go and tape with you, I just have the best time. So if I look like I'm having fun, it's because I am, because the guys behind the camera are trying to make me laugh, or, you know, every time we take a break, you know, there's cookies and Diet Coke waiting for me.
We're good like that.
Yeah, so you guys are a lot of fun. And I really like the quality of the videos that you produce. What people don't know about taping with Creative Bug, or actually taping any class, is that I don't sit down and go through like exactly like you see. Like sometimes I have to say things 10 times before I get it right. And it's exhausting. Like at the end of the tape, like taping a class that's, you know, 45 minutes
yeah.
takes 8 hours, and people don't necessarily realize it's like, you don't see the mistakes I go through when I draw in my sketchbook. You also don't see that when I'm taping with Creative Bug, I'm like jumbling my words and, you know, trying to sort of say things in a way that's going to be clear and understandable. And it takes a lot of time and effort. And so honestly, that you guys make that so easy and comfortable. I know somebody who's actually, I think, taping with you guys this week, and
uh-huh.
she emailed me and was asking me for advice. And I was like, well, be yourself and do your best, but also know that you're going to be around all of these people who are going to make it a very comfortable experience for you. And it's okay if you have to say the same thing 10 times in order to get the right take.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like being in a movie. Like, you don't film a scene once. You probably film it many, many times until you get the one that works.
Mm-hmm.
It's a similar thing.
It's exhausting, but it definitely takes the pressure off.
Yeah. And I think the final product that you produce is really high quality, and I don't ever have to worry that, I mean, honestly, I haven't even watched Sketchbook Explorations.
Is it hard for you to watch yourself?
Because, It is hard for me to watch myself, but yeah. Also I just, like, at this point I've taped so many classes with you guys that I trust that whatever you're putting out is great, and I don't necessarily need to go back and watch it. Maybe someday I probably should.
Awesome.
But
well, we love having you, and I think that probably everybody who's tuning into this podcast also appreciates the work and time you have put into doing this, Lisa. It's just the
best. Thank you. Thank you. Well, it's my pleasure.
Oh, well, it's been great chatting with you today. Thank you again for all of your amazing insights. I'm feeling very inspired right now.
Well, that's great. And I've been noticing, Liana, that you've been doing a lot of painting lately, and I'm inspired by what you do too. So.
Thank you. It makes me feel really good when I'm like, Lisa Kong didn't like my painting. I know.
That's cute.
Okay, well, I will let you get back to your amazing work, and I'm sure we'll be talking again soon.
Thanks, Liana.
All right, thanks for joining us, everybody.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.